Depends if you're a robber lady.
Or it's possible both. I didn't mean to exclude.
Reyach.
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 So you know the modern Hebrew. The modern Hebrew expression, al pam reyach ein lefakeh. But apparently the Rishonim didn't hold that way. Pam is certainly an issue, and even reyach might be an issue. So, with that, where's my water? Boy, what's Chaim doing? No. He's filtering it for.
Nice.
Deciding whether you were filtering the water in the process. Anyway. Thank you.
Boiling it first together.
You're analyzing. Okay. Okay. So we're up to the bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, and there are, as I mentioned yesterday, there are really three sugyos that you need to do for this. Hmm. I will send it out as formal makoros. But I mentioned yesterday is the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, starting, I think it was the bottom of Samach Vav Amud Aleph, about Chala V'Chamra. And then there is a Yerushalmi, which in our printed Yerushalmi is Perek Yod Halacha Beis, which contains both those Mishnais I mentioned at the end of the Shir yesterday, and the Sugya in the Yerushalmi there. Okay, so let's start at the bottom here. I do have one question, sort of, which is, what is the sugya doing here? And when I asked that question, I assume you've gotten through the Gemara to the Mishnah. Why is it here exactly? So it could just be that because the Raya, and we don't have all the Inim of Tarovas here, but because the Raya against Rav was brought from Slias HaPesach, it was brought from Ein Solon Shnei Pesachim Ke'echad Me'at Taroves, therefore they decided that it was relevant here. Where should this sugya have appeared? Who says that? What? Tosus and the Kasha. I don't know if you did that, Tosus. That's the big Tosus. Tosus in this Kasha of Avodah Zarah notes that if you understand the Gemara here a certain way, then this Gemara belonged in Avodah Zarah. Or the Gemara in Avodah Zarah belonged in Pesachim. But the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, it's very obvious why it's there if you read it in the whole context of that sugya, whereas the Gemara here is not as obvious. But okay, it probably has to do with the connection to Pesach. So what is this discussion? May I have a brave volunteer? No, you already volunteered your volunteer duty of the week. I want to pick on somebody.
So, Rafi or Michael Ruto on
you have permission to punch him after share. Okay. No. All right.
Your face is the color of your shirt.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Behave. Let's see. Ari's done his reading. Ari, were you?
Yeah.
Bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. Now, just in case somebody is engaged in a strategy that they really want to read, but they feel if they raise their hand, I won't call them. I will if you raise your hand and you haven't read them well. So. Don't be shy, okay? And that's not a good strategy. But
vice versa.
Basar shkuta shamin shemtzalo in basar nevila kapush asa.
Okay. So Rav says if you have, go ahead, translate, explain.
If you have kosher shechted meat that's very fatty, that you roasted in basar with a nevila meat that's kapush, that's and I guess the issue is that the it goes back and forth, as Rashi says.
Don't guess. The Gemara explains. Okay. I mean, you could give your, if you have an alternate explanation, I'm willing to entertain it, but. Okay, so as Rashi does explain, a little bit elaborate on the Gemara, yeah. Apparently the shuman, the fatness of the basar shchuta, you know, sort of fills the oven. It picks up from the basar nevela, and it continues to distribute that around. So you wind up with something from the basar nevela, even though that was kachush to start with, in the shchuta. Now, what would it then be according to Rav if you had If the nevela was shmeina and the shchuta was kechusha, what would you say the din is? Kavachomer, it's aser. What about if they're both shamein? Mistama, I say mistama in both cases. Mistama, it's aser. And what if they're both kachush? Bittel.
The question is, how do they go around?
What's that? So that's an interesting question. Is there bittel involved here? Don't dismiss what he said so readily, even though on the surface it would appear not to be correct. Because there is at least one opinion of a major, of a big, big player in the Rishonim who does understand that there's bittel here. So it's not that. We'll eventually get to it. We're not going to get to it today. If, by the way, you finish all these sugyas and you need more to occupy you, so aside from learning Shas, there is there's a long discussion on this. There's one, the biggest Tosos on Samach Vav Amud Beis is relevant, and then there's a long piece from the Rif. In all places, Gid Hanasha, but Daf Lamud Beis in the Rif. Before our Mishnah, earlier on in the Perek, there's a full Amud of the Rif, not quoting Gemara, but the Rif as commentator, explaining, discussing Psak Halacha and how to put the Sugyas together. You get those in the Rif every so often. So anyway, you'll see there the possibility that what's involved here is bittul actually does come up. Okay? But intuitively, that's not initially what seems to be going on. Fine. Now, what does Levi have to say?
The Levi Amar Afilu Basar Shkuta Kakosh Zitzala Lim Basar Nevila Shamein Muta. My time up. Recha Be'amahu. Recha Lav Nosa.
Okay. Now, on some level, Rav and Levi are clearly arguing. One says mutter, one says aser. The way the Gemara presents the reasons is very interesting. See, the Gemara presents the reasons in such a manner that it's as if the two are not talking to each other. What do I mean by that? If you were to have written this Gemara, Ari, what would you have written? Rav says, I might have said Recha Milsahi. Or, alternatively, you might have said, Levi would have said La Mefat Me'adadi. But instead, the Stam and the Gemara, in explaining, my time is not Rav talking or Levi talking, in explaining the two Shitos, they're not talking to each other. In one case, we use the term Recha La Milsahi, which is a term that we know from another Sugya out of Abu Dazara. On the other hand, the first Shita just says, Rav says, La Mefat Me'adadi. So, in other words, it's almost as if I asked the question, not just with an awareness of putting the sugyas together, but even if you just read the Gemara Masechet, does Levi perhaps agree with Rav? Yeah, Mefat Me'mi Hadadi, but Recha La Milsahi. In other words, and I, Jason, I'm going to defer to your culinary expertise here, but I would presume that if you took something, if you had an oven for the moment, okay, forget, not talking about this halacha lemaisa, but if you had an oven which really smelled powerfully, you just cook something with a lot of smell, and you were to put another food to cook in there, and you took that other food out, it's possible you might smell. There might be a little bit of a reah that was sort of associated, you know, with the original issue that you can now smell. You put your pizza in the oven after they've been, I don't know, what's a really powerful smelling thing? I don't know.
Fish.
What? Fish. So your pizza might smell a little bit like fish, but when you tasted it, it probably is not going to taste like fish. It's going to taste like pizza. Right? But you can smell it. So the question is,
except for the fact that taste is,
it's still going to, what?
Smell.
Do the experiment. My bet is that even in this case, I understand that when you take away a person's sense of smell, it really dampens the taste, but that doesn't mean the pizza is going to taste like fish. In other words, it's not like it's going to, the pizza's not going to smell like you're smelling, probably not. You do the experiment. Maybe I'm wrong. My bet would be is that it's, you're going to smell some fish along there, but there's going to be a very big difference between whether the pizza smells of fish, whereas if you put fish in the pizza itself. Very, very, even a small, even a small amount, very small amount. It's going to be a very big difference. Okay, you have a job, okay? I don't know, you live in the dorms or an apartment?
Apartment.
Ah, so you have an oven? Okay, so when your roommates walk in and think you're crazy and try to find what you're doing, you explain it's your sheer homework. Okay. So anyway, so it's almost as if Levi could say, yeah, mefat me mehadadi, but recha la milsahi. This is very, there's a dissonance in the Gemara. Okay, fine. We will return to that discussion at a later point. Go ahead, Avi. Okay. Did Levi live in Babel, Ari? He moved to Babel. Alright, Levi was a Talmud of Rebbe. He had his own Nusach of the Mishnah. And I guess he moved to Babel. Okay. And here he was in the Rish Galusa. And you gotta love this. You know, I understand sort of how Nevela and Shchuta wind up in the same oven, but how does Chazir and Shchuta wind up in the same oven? It's sort of like today, as I say, the only kind of tarfus you're going to wind up with in your kitchen generally is basar b'chalav if you mix them together. Because today, most of us go to the store, we go to Galat Express or its equivalent, and we buy our kosher food. Okay, it's rare that you walk in. Some of you may know the story. Once I bought a Galat Kreif turkey because I was in ShopRite, and this goes back many years. I started after I was married, it was in the Empire Kosher case. The cases were next to each other, so I pulled the turkey out of there. I didn't notice it was ShopRite, and I put it in the freezer. My wife comes home and looks at the freezer and says, "What's a tray of turkey doing in my freezer?" Okay, but normally that's not what happens, right? Normally anything you buy from the supermarket, even if it doesn't have a proper hashgacha, the odds are it's probably not treif in any way that would treif up your kitchen. Okay, so perhaps you shouldn't.
Aren't those the cases why we had these halachas for?
So anyway, what's that?
It happens in restaurants though with workers who accidentally put their lunch in the.
So that could be, I'm wondering in the case of the Reish Galusa, whether it's because the non-Jews who might have worked in the house of the Reish Galusa had their ham sandwiches or something like that. They were, the ham that they were, you know, preparing on the...
The bagel shop closed down because of the court.
Yeah, but it was in the Bay Reish Galusa.
Which was putting like a ham sandwich in the...
Was in the... That's fine, but who lived at his house? So I assume there were non-Jewish slaves who worked there, and so they had their food. That's my assumption.
Right. The kitchen wants to that.
Also, just I guess to add, if you look at later on the description of what it was more of an open air thing where.
The tanner, you mean?
No, if we look, yeah.
We've discussed a little bit what a tanner is.
No, I know, but doesn't he discuss it? What it is later on? Not late. Doesn't Ron discuss what he's referring to by oven?
Let's see. Hold on. You mean the Kain, the Shtei Kederos? Wait. We'll get there. Okay, so you could have. Well, I mean, but this case, that's a Pesach specific consideration. Because Kederos are an issue. You could have two Kederos under ordinary circumstances. By Pesach, you can't have two Kederos because you can't cook Pesach. You got to roast it. So how you get Kain Shtei Kederos is the key. But leave that aside. Just wait. We'll get there. We'll explain. So here, Levi actually did Lemaisa. Lemaisa, someone, I think any Rav would be horrified if he got this shayla. Rabbi, I accidentally cooked a ham and a piece of meat in the oven. What do I do? Okay, that's a frightening thought.
But,
okay, Nevela, once upon a time, Nevela could have more readily happened, or certainly something was balo midam had it been salted, right? None of us salt our meat, but once upon a time, people did. The Balbusters did salt their meat. Okay, fine. So so now, the Gemara says as follows. Go ahead. End of Tosefta. What is the Tosefta? Well, okay. So you're not allowed to do what? You can't roast two psachim at once. Okay. So what is it? So what does Taroves mean? So the Gemara says. Explain.
Meaning that the flavors, the flavor from one will go to the other one through this.
Yeah. And what's the problem with that? They're both Karban Pesach, they're both Kosher, so.
Yeah, but you need to be appointed.
So you can only eat from your Pesach, you can't eat from anybody else's Pesach. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'kasha
l'levi. V'kasha
l'levi. V'kasha l'levi. Lo, v'nei, V'kasha l'levi, question mark, or right. Exclamation point, so lo.
So, no, because Tarov is goofing.
Which means?
That the actual
Yeah, I'll get your Pesach, you get my Pesach. It's not we're not worried about Tom, we're worried about much more than Tom. Okay. Malik di ugedi.
Right, so how's it significant that one is a gedi and one's a tle?
Right. It's the other way. What's the significance the other way?
Even though they're different things, you still can't put them together.
Because we're afraid. Afraid you'll get them mixed up.
Right.
Wait, was it me who had the gedi and you had the tle? Was the tle yours, the gedi mine? I don't remember. So you might have thought that by gedi and tle, gedi and gedi. it's really a chashash, because they're probably going to look very, very similar. So you've got, you know, was mine on the right, was yours on the left? I don't remember. Oh yeah, mine was on the right, then maybe I'm wrong. You would have thought by a gedli or tleh that maybe there's no concern about taroves gufin, because you'll remember which type of animal you got. So the Tosefta says, assumes there's some type of gzeira, that even gedli or tleh. But that would suggest that the whole concern in the first place is not over taroves tamim, but it's over taroves gufin. Okay.
Presumably, by the time you cooked it or you cut it up, it would look very similar, the goat and the sheep.
I have no idea, but
when you're cooking two,
I don't know. When you have
very
a whole, excuse me,
I mean,
when you have a whole
animals.
When you have a whole goat and a whole sheep,
yeah,
do they really look the same?
When they're cooked, they're
from New York.
You see the whole animal. I don't know. I mean, I don't spend enough time in petting zoos or on farms to know, but I think that they look pretty different. No, I mean my limited time in the children's zoo at the Bronx Zoo, you know, the goat and the sheep are very different. Now, granted, they have different personalities too, but that's obviously not an issue when they're on the on the spit. That really doesn't, that's not the personality exude there. But still, I imagine that people who are used to looking at goats and sheep, it's pretty obvious which is which. That's what I would have thought. I don't know. You can search on the web for pictures of dead goats and dead sheep. I don't know. I can't imagine it.
Billy is worried about that.
They are worried about it, but even if they're really indistinguishable, then it's not a chiddush of the Tosefta either way. Okay. Shalom.
Going back to something a little bit earlier.
Okay, I can't believe we seem to argue about that. I once had an argument about a student in Intro to Bible years ago about whether or not cows, female cows, had horns.
What?
He came from Wisconsin, and he insisted that they didn't. So my next
breed said he does.
What?
It depends which breed.
Well, thank you, but in other words,
Texas said they all have them. You know,
There's still the joke that runs in the family. Am I going to the Van Son Zoo and taking pictures of the cow of both the udders and the horns, and you know, and trying to get in one same picture to prove? So okay, so I don't know. I assume that a goat and a sheep look sufficiently different. Okay.
So in the earlier part, something where it turns around and says the expression for Levi is Recha Levinothi.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we have assumed that the pieces of meat are touching each other? And that's really why Rav is concerned that even if one is Kachush, we could say, even if the Mutter one is Kachush, the Mutter one is the only Shemi, then the Shemi can go in and go come back. And it's not about going through the air.
I will tell you the following. Rav and Levi are quoted in the Yerushalmi on the Mishnah that deals with the various issues of Reach and the like. In fact, they're quoted possibly on the issue of Reach Kamon, that it's Reach Kamon v'latan Kamon. So both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi understood Rav and Levi talking about things that weren't touching each other, and they probably took this a Dabar Pasha. If they were, there would be no Machlokas. So that doesn't prove to you that has to be what the Machlokas of Rav and Levi is about, but it's highly likely. Given that both the Yerushalmi and the Bavli, it's not that the touching part is a more obvious explanation. And as if you'd say they're touching, it's very hard to understand Levi's position. Now, again, that may be only post facto. I grant you that. But given that both the Bavli and Yerushalmi understand it the same way, you know, forgetting about the exact prat, you know, whether mefat mima dadi recha lemel, so whatever term you want to use, I'm inclined to believe it's not that they're nogim zeh bezeh. Okay. Fine. And clearly, in the Tosefta, they're not Nogin Zebizeh. Why? Well, I mean, the unless you say that's the Chashash. Why can't they be Nogin Zebizeh there? Because then it won't be Tzliyesh, it will be Tzaloi. You know, it's like if it touches the Cheresh El Tanur, you have to be called Makoma. So you could have said, oh, but the Tosefta is not, right, they're not concerned about that. Maybe they're not concerned about physical contact. Alec?
What we have with the, I guess it was on Amaral, but like the rotate would fall down and splatter back up. If you say, Rav says he lied up, right? So that if the Korban Pesach is hot, but the Cheres is cold, the rotate is going to come down, but once it's Porish, it should no longer be considered part of the Korban Pesach. And then the rotate is going to go down, hit the Cheres, splatter back up. Shouldn't we say that that's like Sli rotate or Sli Cheres?
I'm sorry?
Shouldn't we say
that would be from the rotate? That would be a concern. Well,
No.
The rotev itself is the problem. The rotev is nivla. The rotev is nivla.
In the Pesach.
We're not concerned about the oven here. We're concerned about the Pesach.
So once the rotev is poor, it's no longer considered part of the Kodesh Pesach.
Well, if the rotev just comes back and continues to be heated by the Aish, that wouldn't be a problem. The problem is it was heated by something else in the interim. Then the rotev is now pasul because it was not Sliesh anymore.
So the rotev is always considered part of the Kodesh Pesach?
Yes.
Even once it's poor?
I think so.
Why should that be?
Why should it not be? It's part of the Korban Pesach.
Not anymore.
If a leg comes off the Korban Pesach, it's part of the Korban Pesach. Go ahead.
Okay. Elamai al-Korah ha-Korah ha-Korah. So rather it must be because of the mixture. You get confused between the natural things.
So al-Korah ha-Korah ha-Korah aval.
Aval ta-Korah ha-Korah.
So now they want to be medayik from the Tosefta, the reverse. And just one comment about the Gemara's Kasha. What? Go back to the initially for a second. What was the Machlokas Rav and Levi exactly? What's the case?
Nevela
and Shchuta. In that you cooked, you roasted it in the same oven. And what is the Machlokas about now? No. Whether it's Asur or Mutar. What is Levi's position? We know Rav's position. What is Levi's position? What is Mutter? No, the Nevela is not Mutter. Nevela is definitely not Mutter, that's for sure. The Shchut is Mutter. What does that mean that the Shchut is Mutter? The two possibilities.
Either it's fully Mutter or you're like
Tila, Klipa, or
Gufa. No. Either you're allowed to eat it or. No. There's no discussion on that. Are you allowed to cook it this way? Are you allowed l'chatchila to roast this? Is this a b'diyaved or a l'chatchila? Now, maybe there are lots of things that don't aser b'diyaved, but you're not allowed to do l'chatchila. I could argue you're not allowed to do l'chatchila because it might touch each other. Not unreasonable. Maybe we should be afraid that you're going to be that they're going to physically touch each other. Whoa, no. That's intercepted. Just wait a second. We're not even there. Oh well. Okay. And then, so you can't tell from the original statement whether this is l'chatchila or b'diavad. You can't tell whether it's really mutter l'chatchila. What you do know is that it's according to Levi, it's mutter to eat the food after you did it.
If it would be based on bittul, then it would be a moral question of whether or not you'd like to do it in advance.
That is true. That would be an issue on the mevatlin is l'chatchila. But mevatlin is l'chatchila probably doesn't apply when there's nothing usser in the taroves to start with. In other words, I guess you could say that. Just intentionally
makes sure. There's no tarovis.
Okay, fine. So maybe that would point in a direction that it's not an issue bittul. But hold on. Okay. Now, I want to know what Levi holds. No. Rav is not mitzad in vatlas chila. Rav holds that the shchuta is asura afterwards. Period. To eat it. Then they're arguing. The case is basar shchuta shamein shetzla basar nevela kachosh. The way it's presented, the formulation of the Bavli is you did it. What's the din now? Now, it could be this. In other words, clearly Rav holds it's usher even b'di'evit. What does Levi hold is my question. Now, what can you tell from the question of the Gemara? Yehuda, were you going to... No, why? There's nothing in that story. Avad le'ovda. I mean, it's.
Would you really not know that it was
chazir?
I mean,
It leans Levi. Avad. Firstly, what is Avad le'ovda? Beresh galusa. What does that mean? I didn't explain that clearly. It means it happened. Avad le'ovda means he paskin that way. Right. It's not that. What's that? Right. In other words, Levi. It's not that Levi himself did it. This. That's not what Avad le'ovda means. It means that you know, if actions speak louder than words, it's one thing in the base medrash to say, I hold it's mutter, you know, oh yeah, it should be mutter. It's another thing when you have to pass in shayla and you say, mutter, go eat it. That's what Avad Ovda means. Avad Ovda refers to the psak halacha, not to the actual roasting. So, what can you tell from the Gemara's question? I'm not so smart, but the Ran is very smart. The Ran and Chulin. He pointed out something which is a not a bad observation. What can you tell from the Gemara's question on Levi, Ari?
On Levi. Yeah, you can't do it.
No, the Gemara says it's not because of that concern. It's because of Tarovis Kufin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Meaning you can't cook them together.
So that, but that
does prove Lady's point that is the operative, that we don't, that Rachel and Milsa.
No. The Gemara hasn't got. We're not there yet in the Gemara. Just the Gemara asked the Kasha. Meisvei in Solon Shnei Pesachim Kechen Meah Tarovis. Whatever Tarovis means. Let's assume for the moment Tarovis would be.
Wait, so in Solon sounds like it's if you have it, Levi allows it, but Achil you can't.
You're saying it backwards. What could the Gemara have answered easily for Levi?
Oh, it's b'di'evet.
Yeah, the Braisa said Levi holds that the Chatchilas also usher to do. It's just b'di'evet. It's mutter. The Tosefta doesn't say that if you did it, it's usher to eat from the Pesach. It says you're not supposed to roast it that way. Maybe Levi agrees with that. From the fact that the Gemara asked this question
from
simply a l'chatchila din, not a statement of b'di'evet, indicates that Levi must have held that it was l'chatchila mutter to do. Okay. Anyway, so now the Gemara, having successfully been docha, and to indicate that there's no concern, the concern of Taroves is not Taroves Ta'amim, but Taroves Gufin, so now they turn around and say that maybe, in fact, right, because the fact that the Tosefta says that you're not allowed to cook it Mimnea Taroves and even Gedeon Tleh means we're not at all concerned about Taroves Ta'amim, because if we were concerned about Taroves Ta'amim, we would never even bother to point out Gideon Tlai would have been usher across the board. It must be that the only concern is Taroves Gufin, and you would have thought that since it's a Gideon Tlai, when nobody's likely to confuse it, or less likely to confuse it, you would have thought that it's mutter, so Kamash Malan, that it's still usher, we're still gozer on that. But it's mashman that Taroves Ta'amim is mutter. Now, so what happens now? Amar. So he answers that you roasted it in two separate pots, and in two separate pots there's no Taroves Tamin. And of course, you don't even need to read the next line in the Gemara and say, what? The Gemara interjects. What? So what does Ein Shtekederos mean? It means that maybe you put a partition in the oven or something like that, and you put one Pesach on one side, one Pesach on the other. That's what Ein Shtekederos, for anything besides the Carbon Pesach, wouldn't matter. You could call it Shtekederos, but you're not allowed to cook the Carbon Pesach in a pot, because if you put Carbon Pesach in a pot, it becomes Bishul, because the liquid accumulates. It's now Bishul, and now it's not Sliesh anymore. Fine. Oh, there's a lot in there, right? In other words, we introduce a whole middle piece to the Braisa. That you're not allowed to condemn but mea taroves. That means taroves tamim. But even if there's no taroves tamim, you also can't cook together because where there's no taroves tamim because taroves gufim. Such as even gediutla. Okay. What does the Tosefta say, by the way? What's that? That doesn't... Okay, we know it's Tanarecha. That was our assumption. But the Tosefta adds in two magic... has it in two magic words. Mipnei HaHergel. Now, where is that? That's after the Gediyot Tleh, though, no?
Yes, it's after, yeah.
You have the Tosefta there?
Yeah.
Read the Tosefta as it appears there. Paragel is because you'll be rugged to do it, and then you'll end up making a mistake. Go ahead. Okay. So the truth is, when you read the Tosefta without the Gemara, it's explicit in the Tosefta. It's explicit that the reason being given there is because not of Ta'amim. If it were Tam, it's Hergel means you could be Rugil to do it, and you'll make a mistake. But if it's because Taroves Tamim, it's immediately a mistake. Now, can the Maskana of Rav stand within this Tosefta? The answer is yes. Once you introduce that missing clause that the Gemara wants to put in for Rav, Mitmea hergel is the reason for gediyut tleh. In other words, gediyut tleh, the reason for that, memarovshach, if you hold that really every the brice is to be read like Levi, that the whole concern is only over mixing things up, that Mea Hergel goes on the entire brisa, afilu gediyut tleh, and the reason why you don't cook two psachim together, be it of the same species or even of a different species in Mea Hergel. If you want to say, like the Gemara's ukimta in the brisa, you can also do that with that nusach. You just say what fell out in the middle, so you're not allowed to do it because of taroves. Taroves means taroves tamen, but even if you do it in such a way that it's ke'en shtei kederos, you're not allowed to do them together, even a gediyut tleh in Mea Hergel. So that particular part, the Maskanas HaGemara can read with the Nusach of Arat Tosefta. What cannot read with the Nusach of Arat Tosefta? That should be obvious the way I formulated the question. No, I understand that. It means the Hava meaning of the Gemara is very strange. Clearly the Gemara did not have those two words in their version of the Brisa. Why? Because until they... What's that? They wouldn't have thought that it was... No, they wouldn't have thought it was Taroves Tamen. As the Tosefta, as it reads, says Beferush, that it's Taroves Gufin. I mean, it says in the different words, Bnei Hergel. So when the Gemara had the Hava meaning, when they originally asked as Akasha against Levi, they couldn't have had those words Bnei Hergel there, because now, Lamaskana, it doesn't have to be Akasha against Rab, because just as we did it, in other words, Gedi and Tlat, once you mention Gedi and Tlat, it's clear you're talking about Taroves Gufin, not Taroves Tamim, the concern is Taroves Gufin. So throwing the two words in Bnei Hergel at the end of the Seifa doesn't change the equation. Even Rav acknowledges, even the Gemara in explaining Rav acknowledges that the Gediyut Tleh part is because of Taroves Gufin, not Taroves Tamim, by introducing sort of that middle stage. Okay, but clearly the Gemara initially, when it had the Havamina as a Raya against Levi, did not have those two words in their version of the Tosefta. How did it get there? There are two possibilities. Either the Bavli didn't have it and it was there, or alternatively, it's added in there, based upon the maskana of the Bavli. I mean, the only thing that's strange about it...
How do we know? Like, is there any way of...
Well, those are the only two possibilities.
No, but how do we know which ones... Is there any way to tell...
There's no way of knowing. I will tell you methodologically, the reason why I am suspicious of the latter is only because I want to know... I mean, look, it's definitely possible, but I would have liked to have seen Bavli words in there. Nea Hergel is not a term I don't think that's used at all in our Gemara. So, therefore, where do those two words come from? Sometimes you can get additions that may almost be unintentional, because someone sort of adds... You could almost imagine having a Tosefta where somebody wrote in the margins the reason from the Bavli, and then the next copyist accidentally copied it in thinking it was an omission, and it was, you know, put in the margins, because that's what you do when you accidentally leave things out in a manuscript. You put it in the margins. So, but that would work much better. It's still possible with this. If it would be particularly compelling if you had the words of the Bavli that appeared in the Tosefta, so you would say that it was the influence of the sugi of the Bavli, intentionally or accidentally. When you have two, now again, it's still possible that somebody wrote Mea Hergel in the manuscript of his Tosefta, and then it got copied in. It seems to me a little less likely that way. It seems to be more of an intentional thing. Someone put a comment in the Tosefta, but again, it could be the original thing. And in Bavli, they didn't have that nusach. Avigil,
is this whole discussion about the Tosefta, does that happen?
It's later. I mean, you don't know how much later, but it's the stamma of the Gemara.
Did Rav have access to the way he had
access? I'm sure he had access to a collection of rices. We just don't know what that was. All right.
First of all, Lieberman says here that Abiyat Bet, I think that's a Ben's.
Maybe.
He says that.
Yeah, that would make sense. He would have followed some kind of limitation.
Well, he says that Mipnei Hergel is missing in the Bavli, but Uchein Zahayav Gubab Hamad with Taviyat Bet.
No. Saviyat Bet must be of the Bavli. I didn't check this, but I only looked at Amud Aleph in the Kisrayat. Oh well, I don't know what I don't Saviyat Bet. That's a Bavli reference, but in other words, just read. I think Bet is Venice. That's what Zucker Mandel used, and I suspect Lieberman adopted. Aleph is Erfurt, Beis is Venice, Gimel is Geniza, and Dalet is Tiflis Rishon, and Lamed is London. I don't know what you have to look in. I don't know why Xaviat Beis. What do we have there? Vatican manuscripts. There's Columbia. There is something else. What's the other thing? There are a couple of Munich manuscripts of Esparta Psachim. I don't know. Okay. But I don't think that's of the Tosefta. That's of the...
He says something like this in the Bavli.
What I'm assuming is that there's a ksav yad in the Bavli that has the words b'nei ha-hergel.
I'm going to say that it's possible for Rav to say, it's possible for, before you get, at least in the Hamad, before you get to the Yuklev, but that doesn't matter anyway, it's possible for Rav to read b'nei ha-hergel as just saying you shouldn't cook a gdi and a gdi together during the year because otherwise you need to do it.
That's a, what?
Yeah, I mean, the reason it works for Levi is because you should say you shouldn't cook them together all during the year because it's going to be on Pesach and it's the month.
What does the Tosfos say? Ein sol in shnei psachim ke'echad. That's not during the year.
But Rav, I mean, it's not easy for Rav to say. Wouldn't Rav be able to say you shouldn't normally cook your deity during the year?
That's not what the Tosfos says at all. I mean, that's a wild gzeirah to make. No. I'm sorry.
That two psachim would just mean
deity. Yeah, I mean, we call it a Pesach because it's a Pesach. Okay. So anyway, but the Gemara clearly did not have those two words. The Masadra, it doesn't matter what Ksav Yad it appears in, the Makshon of the Gemara did not have those two words, otherwise he would never have asked the question against Levi. Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara says, Amar Amari. Okay, now a heads up here. Where does this mission appear?
Right here on the side.
It appears in Trumos. I'm sorry, I missed that. I should let that one go away.
Yeah.
It appears in Trumos. Does anybody have a Taros in front of them? A Mishnayis Taros? Taharos. Meseches Machshirin. Have any of you heard of Meseches Machshirin? Nobody should say, of course. Meseches Machshirin, since I suspect that if I asked, has anybody here learned all the Mishnayis Taros, I bet I wouldn't get more than one hand. I'm not going to ask the question. And I bet that even those who might have encountered it might not likely have gotten. You get into Kalim and you get a few Prakim in and you give up. And you figure, maybe I'll try all those, and you get a couple of Prakim in and you give up there. Negayim's easier. So if you look at Masechet Mashirin, is one of the small Masechetas at the end. It's the first of the small Masechetas once you get after Nidah. There are six chapters that are ordered by numerical size. And it's a very interesting Mishnah in Mashirin that you get to think about. Okay? The Mishnah says as follows. Perek Gimel Mishnah Beis in Mashirin. Chavis Shehim Aleya Peros. I'm sorry, Mishnah Gimel. Harode Pas Chama. Look at your Gemara Masechim. Look at the Mishnah we just read. Harode pas chama unasana al pi chavish shel yayin. Rabbi Meir mitame, Rabbi Yehuda mitaher, Rabbi Yosei mitar b'shel chitim u'mitame b'shel seorim mipnei she'asorim shoavos. It's very interesting. Correct. It's talking about the din of machshirin is if you have food, you want it to become tame, it first has to have mashkin come upon it with intent. If you pluck an apple from the tree, you can put 16 nevelas on top of it, 3 dead people, and dam min hames, and the apple is still tahar. It's probably inedible, but it's tahar, right? Why? Because actually, I should say dam min hames might be ma'ashirid. Okay, fine. Okay, so leave out the dam min hames. What's that? If you unintentionally spill the dam on it, okay, the apple remains tahar. Why? Because it hasn't had hechsher. So the assumption is, you obviously sense an immediate problem that the Rosh just points out Derech Havlah, and obviously there's probably no Gemara that's going to help you here, because this Mishnah is not quoted in any Gemara, so there's going to be no Bavli and no Yerushalmi that's going to explain to you, what do you mean, Heksher here? After all, how do you make bread? Do you take flour and toss it in the oven and it rises in like that? So the answer to the question is, you guys can do. Answer that question. May peros. Yeah. In order for something to be considered roy lekabel tuma, muchshar lekabel tuma, it has to have one of 7 mashkim come upon it. Those 7 mashkim are Goldberg.
Water, blood.
Say it for them. Yad shachadam. Thank you, Alex. Yad shachadam, and they are. Test. Excuse me. Is your name Alex? Another Dev Stalin, not Dom, but. Drash and the mem. Can't miss this one.
Bees, honey.
Mayim. Okay, there you go.
Which type of drash?
Only bees, honey.
I believe it's only
strange. Which is actually the opposite of what you would expect.
It's only bees, honey. That's correct. I only realized that like a year ago. I thought about. I somehow encountered this. Did we encounter this in Brachos? Anyway, so may.
No, but I think this Mishnah came up.
No, because Shemin would be, and Yain would also be May Peiros. But anyway, so bottom line, but it's Drash Dvorim. Okay, those are the seven Mashkim. Okay, any other Mashke is not Mashir at Lekabel Tumah. So if you need a dough, what? Nobody holds otherwise. It's a Beferish or Mishnah, black on white, as black and white can be.
Is urine considered water or no?
What's that?
Is urine considered water or no?
Probably not. May Peiros, even though I know that chemically, obviously, with the exception of oil, May Peiros are primarily water based. The din is May Peiros taken straight from the fruit does not have the din of Mayim Hechsher Lekabel Tumah, and therefore, if you make the bread with May Peiros and now you put it on top of a chavis of Yayin, the question is, has the bread come in contact with the Yayin? And here there are three deos, just like there are three deos by Truma. That is something which you should figure out. When you do the Yushalmi, that there is another Mishnah, although oddly enough, the Yushalmi does not quote this Mishnah. It quotes the preceding Mishnah, which you'll look at, but I want you to just be aware of that now so you can think about what is really going on in this Mishnah. What is the concern? What does this Mishnah really tell us? Where did this come from?
Go.
Thank you. Okay, so now what does the Mishnah in Truma say? It says that if you take paschama, which would be fresh bread, hot bread, you put it on top of a barrel of wine, which happens to be Truma. So Rabbi Meir says, the bread is now usser because it is meduma. It has the din of truma. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's not. Rabbi Yosei says, it depends. If it's chitim, it's mutter. If it's saorim, it's usser. Why? Because saorim are shoavos. They draw, they absorb. Okay, I don't know. I've never had barley bread, so I haven't really noticed the difference. If anybody wants another homework assignment, Ari's already busy, but someone else could work on baking real barley bread. Barley bread, you're not going to get a fluffy loaf, you're going to get a very dense loaf. Bake some barley bread, tell us what's the difference. Okay, what's that? Okay, so you'll bake it and you bring it in. All right, fine. So what is the machlokas atanoim then? My lot tanoi he de mar savar. Okay, so who's the mar and who's the mar? Okay, I have a question for you. If this is what they're arguing about, what is Rabbi Yosef's position? Right.
In my only
things that actually absorb it?
Well,
not all bread is susceptible to this bread.
So you think that shoavos means that it is penetrable as opposed to it draws the wine? See, it's a little odd because what is the reach here of? The reach is the reach of yayin. So really, but again, it comes back to the same thing. It's not whether reach milsa, reach la milsa he. He holds that reach milsa he, you would say, except that there's no reach in this case. Is that what it means? So the simple explanation in the Mishnah is that this is not really reach you're talking about. And this is why I point to the Mishnah Machshirin. It sounds like you're talking about the mamashus. Not reach. You're talking about drawing the liquids.
The
because they Rabbi Meir believes, it's not just that you can taste. It's not that you can taste. Not that you can taste the yayin in the bread. It's that there's mamashus of yayin in the bread. Because if it was just reach, why should that be mukshel lekabel tumah? And then we understand the machlokas and machshirin. Rabbi Meir says it draws. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't draw. Rabbi Yossi says it sometimes does draw, sometimes doesn't draw. Everybody would agree that if it were to draw the liquid up into the bread, that would constitute hechsher lekabel tumah, and that would constitute a tarobes by truma.
That would make our Gemara make no sense, because why is Rabbi Yosef?
So the Gemara, I'm just pointing, the Gemara's reading at this stage in the Havamim is a little bit difficult, because it doesn't seem that the machlokas should be about reicha milsahi. even Lu Yitzri, you wanted to argue what they were talking about was Recha. It's a strange way to formulate it. It's not about whether Recha Milsahi. Recha for Rabbi Yosef for sure, and maybe the Gemara would say this, it's for sure Milsa. It's just sometimes it doesn't get there. And so it's a very, Rabbi Yosef's formulation makes it very hard to explain Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir as a function of Recha Milsa. Unless you say that Rabbi Yosef disagrees Lagamre with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, they're arguing over whether Recha Milsahi or not, and Rabbi Yosef says, what are you guys talking about? Of course Recha's not Milsahi, but you got to worry about something else. But that wouldn't explain Rabbi Meir and Mesachas Mashirin. If his only issue was Recha, then why would it be Moshe LeKabal Tuma? Ari, well, I know what you're going to say. I can read your mind. Go ahead. Tosus and Avodah Zarah. Yeah, okay. That's a very strained. Tosus thinks that only by some rechas, right? By Bastia. All right, so put that aside. That's. I don't want to say that it's not there. There are lots of interesting things about barrels of wine and Chazal, but I'm choosing not to mention one. Because that raises some very profound scientific questions.
Roll out the barrel.
Okay. Goldberg. What? Okay. Abigail? No, nobody's arguing whether it's Reach or not. Stick your head in a barrel of wine, you'll smell the wine. The question is whether it's Nechshav Kimamish, whether it really counts. So that could be, again, that could still... Correct. That fits into the category of these, those things. Don't try this at home. Okay? In fact, don't try this at all. Fine. So you could say, Ari is suggesting you could say that Recha Milsahi is whether are you whether Reach is considered Mamasha Shalish, or Tosus wants to be Medamit in one case at least, that being Meriach would be like Mamish being Shoseh, and therefore that's how the two Mishnah, how it could be relevant in both contexts. Okay, but then, you know, but that's very strange because by the two things of the two meats in the oven, you're going to say that the okay.
Could you say it's a Machlokas Asurios because in this case, I mean, according to Tosfos of Shuda, it would be very telling that in this version of the Sugya they don't bring the Raya from the Kohen. So you don't have to say Reka, Reach equals Shti. In Avodah Zarah, you have to say that.
I'm not following.
I mean, the reason why Tosfos finds it preferable to say that Reach equals Shti in Avodah Zarah is because from the Hemshech HaSugya, you ask the question from Kohen, which could only be
Ta'amanish.
But according to Tosfos, in this version of the Sugya, we don't ask the question from Kohen. So it could be a machlokas.
Yeah, but then you're going to create problems here. Why does the Gemara here think that it's about? How does Recha Milsa? My question is, if it's not Shtia, if it's not the way you're suggesting what Tosfos says in Avodah Zarah, how is it that the Mishnah in
and Avodah
Zarah? Okay, but as a parenthetical note, and you know this brings back memories for me. You realize that that if we always ask the question of what is the source for something, I'm willing to bet that Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yosef only had their machlokas once, and the Masadre HaMishnah assumed that it was relevant in two places, which tells you how they understood it. I'm not telling you that it's impossible, but it's very, very likely. It will not be the only place where formulations are borrowed from Mishnah to Mishnah. So they obviously, Rebbe Ubesdino understood that the issues in both Mishnayos were essentially the same underlying it. You have to come up with an explanation that satisfies both. That's why, if you want to say Shasia, that it's Mamash or Shell of the liquid, it makes sense in both contexts. One because you taste, one because that's Mamish Taroves, and one because that's Mamish Hechsher. If you say Reicha Milsa, he doesn't mean something like that, then it's very hard to understand how the Misadre HaMishnah applied the machlokas, whichever one they took it from, to the other. I don't know which one, but I presume it occurred in one, and then they adopted it for the other. That's my guess. It's even if you want to argue, it is original. That in fact, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yehuda had the same argument in two different places. It means because they conceptually linked the two. But I don't know if you have to go that far. It may be that the Masantra HaMishnah saw them as the same. It's far from the... There are situations where you get Mishnais, identical Mishnais, duplicated in two different places. That's really just a text literary question. But this is really a substantive interpretive question. There are a lot of times that Mishnais, where language is borrowed from one to the other, and it sometimes explains the imprecisions. You can figure out which Mishnah was the original formulation and which one they borrowed it from because it fits one context better. Okay. Then?
So first of all, here it doesn't fit Makshirin better because of the Tumantara?
Clearly, when Rebbe took the Mishnah from one to the other, he modified either Tumantara into Asur Mutter or he modified Asur Mutter into Tumavatara.
But you don't learn from one to the other.
No. You don't learn a principle of halacha. A mitzias you might learn from one to the other. A mitzias might be applicable in both. That's all.
The other thing is, so when you say Reicha equals Shtia, so what is the context then when you're talking about Shtia? Shtia is drinking.
Yes. Right?
It doesn't say Reicha equals liquid, right?
We'll discuss Tosis when we get there.
You can have a reason to say smelling something is like drinking something, even if the scent itself isn't like liquid.
Fine. Here all I want to say is that it could be that Reicha Milsahi means that the Reach itself contains the Mamashas of the Isser, and that's why it's liquid Legabe Mashivan, and it's liquid Legabe Tarovis. Well, it's not hard to say. Physically, it's certainly correct. Right? The reason why I assume...
You mean chemically there are molecules of the Isser in the
When you
scent?
Smell something most is when it's hot, because the steam carries with it. What's the... What's the chiddush in that, right? Cold coffee does not smell like hot coffee does. I assume that even when cold coffee does smell, it's because there is some exchange of water molecules in the air. Even when you have a cold substance, some of the molecules are warm, and that's what gives it a smell.
And in the halacha, do we accept that? Is steam going to be malshir? Even though it's actually directly water hitting something?
I don't know what they say by steam.
And this isn't even steam. This is less.
Visible steam might be. Zeh sabatim is a discussion. That's not even, I mean, it's not steam in the classic sense, but it's condensation.
Condensation of any sort. Right?
Might be.
Might be makshir.
Might
maybe.
Be. Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, it's not.
But even if it was, scent is less than steam.
Okay. Bottom line is, I don't know the answer to the question, certainly not yet, but the bottom line is be aware that there's this Mishnah Machshirin, which makes things complicated, because it suggests that there's something, you know, Reicha Milsahi, you know, will becomes harder to read in the context of that Mishnah. That's all. Look, even Rabbi Yosef's words of Neshe and Shoavos suggests that, again, it's not just a function of the Reach, it's a function of what the bread is doing. Okay. So they wanted to say it's a Tanoihi. So now they say as follows. Go ahead. Continue. Yeah.
It's the middle of a long.
What are you doing, brachos?
No.
Machshirin?
Deriving it to myself.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with Heksher. That has to do with a they or Mekabel Tumah or not. The Ravid, by the way, also happens... This Ravid is the same Ravid who holds in Legabe Brachos, that if you're Sochei Pekavana, you make a boy pre eight in it.
Right.
Yes, but
right.
That has nothing to do with Heksher. That's the Ravid just believes that May Paris have the din of pre. That's the May Paris have the din of Mashke. They have the din of Ochel, namely of the pre.
So
when you squeeze them intentionally.
Oh, so they can be bekabel to
some of themselves, not that they're machshir. No. No.
Okay.
No. Okay. Go ahead. Where's that Ravid?
First paragraph to myself.
Ah, that's where they get it from. We saw it quoted in, I think the Ritva quotes it in Brachos in Ketzim of Orchim. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
So Levi will have no choice but to explain it's Tanai. Why? Because as soon as anybody asers under any circumstances, that Tana must believe that Reicha Milsa. Right? There's no way to get around Rabbi Meir asers unless you say Reicha Milsa. That's where the Gemara presents. However,
the Rav,
So Rav could say no. Everybody agrees that Reicham will say Ella. So Lav Itmar Allah. Lav Itmar Allah Dahi. Was it not said about that Mishnah? There was a new Kimta made by one of the Amoraim. Amar. So if you have a hot bread and the chavis is psucha, so everybody agrees it's aser. Now, what does that mean then for the Mishnah? Because what is the Mishnah talking about? Paschama. That's explicit in the Mishnah. There's no way.
But what's the barrel?
It means the barrel's open.
What's that? It means the barrel must be open in the Mishnah. Now, that is what it would seem at first glance. The Yushalmi has a different take on this. But for at least the way the Babli is reading right now, it means that there's that Rabba Barachan and Emre Shlakish is claiming, would seem to be claiming, the Mishnah is a case of Chavis Psucha. Because the Mishnah says, Beferish has a machlokas, even though the pas is chama. Rabbi Yehuda's matu, even though the bread is hot. So it must be that if everybody would agree, the Mishnah must be a case of a Chavis Stuma, right? Chavis Stuma, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda could disagree, because it were Psucha. Everybody would agree that it's awesome. Okay? What is a chavis megufa? Is a lidded barrel. Megufa is a lid. So megufa means it's lidded.
So what's between megufa and besuma?
Because this is not about sealed versus unsealed. It's about closed versus not closed.
Right, but the next line is going to use for suma.
Interesting. I bet you this time you check the kisveyat, I bet you'll find one way or the other. It's interesting. I didn't notice that. Good. So divrei hakol moter lo nechleku. Or. So they only argue in those cases. V'hanami. Damya. In other words, the claim would be that in a standard case in an oven, two things being cooked together next to each other, that's cham, and that's chavis psucha, which is a reasonable analogy, and therefore everybody would agree with me that it would be usher to eat the meat. Okay. Now, is this a kash? Is this a raya against Levi? I wouldn't ask this question to not for the fact that the riff had to come and remind you that it's not a question, not really a kasha. In other words, how is Levi going to respond to this? It's a klutz kasha. No.
Okay.
Because according to Rabbi Rechanan and Meir Shlakish, all the Tanaim hold its usher in this Mishnah. Ari? It's a klutz kasha, guys.
Getting up.
Because who says you have to buy the Ukim to that Mishnah? Levi, aside from maybe he's a Tana, maybe he's an Amora, what obligates Levi to accept that that's what the Mishnah means? He could say, what are you talking about? The Mishnah is Kipshuta Jadvarim, Paschama, Psucha, or Stuma. Nothing. This Ukimta is presented like it's a fact. It's like it's a halachic fact. It's not a halachic fact. It's Reish Lakish's opinion. Levi doesn't have to agree with Reish Lakish. The Rif writes that Levi, Lagabe Reish Lakish, is like his Rebbe. Meaning, Reish Lakish is younger. Levi's first generation. Reish Lakish is second generation. Levi doesn't have to accept Reish Lakish's Ukimta in the Mishnah. Okay. So, but Levi might have to say it is Tanai, it's a machlokas Tanaim. Not all the Tanaim would agree with him, but he believes that Rabbi Yehuda is correct. The truth is, if it were machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yose, who would lose? Rabbi Meir would lose clear outright. If it were just Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir would lose, and Rabbi Yose is most likely to come out the winner. That raises questions. What does that mean here? Because the Gemara never really talks about where Rabbi Yose falls out here. Afilu mechaveirav, yes. Okay. Now it's story time. Go ahead. I'm sorry, not yet. Well, in a moment. Okay, so if you bake bread in an oven, you should know, by the way, I'll be din, you're not allowed to have fleishik bread or milchik bread.
In a normal shape.
Yes, in a normal shape, which means that despite the fact there is a major kashrus organization that's been known to put you know, their logo with the D on the bread, and the claim supposedly was that the, since the package has on it, that's enough of a shinoi. I don't think that that constitutes enough of a shinoi. Maybe they don't do that anymore. Maybe they never did it, and I.
Well, when they start doing it on their hot dog rolls.
Yeah, I've seen hot dog
buns. That's a second problem. But even if you don't want to eat it with hot dogs, so it's also to eat the bread. So it would appear.
Maybe hot dog buns aren't normal shaped bread.
Fleishik bread, I don't think it's usser to eat. That's pretty clear from the Gemara.
Really?
Yes.
But to make fleishik bread? I mean,
I don't know if it's usser to make the fleishik bread. It's not usser to eat it. I'm pretty sure it's not to eat it. But milchik bread, you're not allowed to eat.
Why not?
It's a gzera, because bread was typically eaten with meat. You'll see, it's the Gemara, I think, called a buster, and I believe it's halacha pesuk and shulchan aruch. It's not that you're not allowed to make it, you're not allowed to eat it.
Maybe you
could. Is that like bread or anything?
No, no, bread. In other words, bread. It's specifically because bread was the kind of thing that was eaten with that meat, right?
A cake
is not an issue. This is not totally upon the definition of pas and hilchos brachos. It's basically the kind of bread that would be in a meal, the plain bread. I mean, I don't mean plain as opposed to having some type of, you know, seasoning on or whatever. But basically, regular bread, milchik, you're not allowed to eat.
But so you had like garlic bread. Is that regular bread?
No.
Mistama not.
Regular on the outside.
Well, also there, I don't think the din is that you're not allowed to dip bread in milk. I think it's in the baking process. So garlic bread is usually made by starting with bread. I have to think about that. That's an interesting question. I never thought about that. It may also be that garlic bread, by its very nature, because it is visible, is something that's, I don't know, my impression. I don't know. Actually, I don't know what going to do. I guess you can make it with margarine, but my assumption is garlic bread always goes with like pasta and something like that. So if that's the case, you could argue it's a lot like cake. Yeah, but straight out regular bread, if it's milchix, you know, real milchix. I don't mean DE, which is not really, but a real bread is not allowed to be milchix. A milchix type shulchan aruch, I believe, says milchix b'chal, it's usher to eat.
The point is that you need a siman, though.
Yeah, but it's not. My time is the siman can't be on the package.
Bread, if you made garlic bread, that would presumably already.
I mean, because you see it.
Indication.
Yeah, I mean, in other words, if the way when you make it, it's always served a certain way, then mistama, that's not a problem. But again, it may be shocking, but that is the din. Okay.
But you're allowed to eat milk like I can make the grilled cheese sandwich, right?
Yeah. If firstly, again, that's no longer regular bread.
If
you see a piece of cheese on it, that's not regular bread. They're talking about making a milchik bread, not making a bread milchik. Okay, to get that distinction, but...
No,
mixing butter into the dough.
Yes, mixing butter into the dough renders the bread halachically osur to eat.
Can you make it
fleishik,
though?
I don't remember if there's a fleishik. Here, the Gemara clearly permits it to be eaten with fleishik. I don't know that there ever was. I think the concern is that it was typically eaten with meat, bread, and therefore, so I don't think there's an isser making it fleishik, but the kshayla is here, is b'dieved, does it become fleishik in this case? So that I don't remember. It should say in Shulchan Aruch, but I haven't...
One of the rabbis gave a thing after shul on Friday night once, where he said that people are machmir only to eat fleishik bread.
That sounds a little garbled. What he could have said is that only fleishik bread is mutter to eat, but milchik bread is usher to eat. I don't know. I can't.
Can you put a cinnamon on it after it's baked?
I don't think so. I think it has to be the Gemara's description. It's the shape of the bread.
Well,
it has to be something intrinsic.
Could also be
just
the
to
color.
Go afterwards after you've made the milk with bread and it's usher to eat and put it. I don't think that would, you know. Then the Gemara could come up with that eitzah too for any bread. Just write, you know, draw a picture of I don't know, of a container of milk. I'm not sure. Draw a picture of a cow. What would that tell you? My 5-year-old keeps asking me. He keeps asking me. Is this parv? So I explained to him that if it doesn't come from an animal, it must be parv. But I know that's interesting. If it comes from an animal, let's see the milchix or fleishix. That's the interesting thing. Well, it's not. Not if it's what? Yes, thank you. There are exceptions. Yeah, so it would be, you know, gelatin is also not milk. It's not fleishix. It might be what?
Mother's milk.
Yeah, I understand. I understand that. So if it comes from an animal, that we've been through that. Yes, I've worked my way through it. But my point is, if it doesn't come from an animal, it's parv. All right. So anyway, so drawing a picture of the cow is not going to help. Right?
I think that you could have a similar with a color also. So if you had green bread or blue bread, then that is clearly not normal.
Bread.
Then that might be okay.
Maybe. Okay. Anyway, which probably is, also to eat, but that's a side.
You could probably affect that after it's baked. If
all right. I don't mashma that way from the Gemara. You have to look in Shulchan Aruch on the Pratim, but as a matter of principle, milchik bread is prohibited to be consumed. Not just also to make it. It's mutter to make it. It's also to eat it. So maybe also mitzvah bal tashmis.
Visibly fleshig, if you have like meat chunks like flying out.
Well, meat is not. I don't think meat is the problem part. That's why I think grilled cheese is probably also not an issue. When something doesn't look like bread, it looks like a concoction.
You're rolling the dough and you're putting chicken pieces in the dough and then you're baking it together.
I don't know that. I'm not sure there's an issue to make fleshy bread at all.
Or to make milk bread.
Okay. Enough. He's a difficult bunch. Okay, now can we get the story time? So before we get there, so he ushered eating this bread with kutach. Right? You want to dip the bread in kutach, you want to mix the bread into kutach. It's usher to do because the bread is fleishik. So who this brisa would appear to be support of the Gemara doesn't say. Of course the Gemara doesn't say. I know the Gemara doesn't say. Who is this brisa brought? Whose position does this brisa support?
Rav.
It seems to support Rav's position. Recha milsahi. Does it? Maybe yes, maybe no. When you get to see the riff, it discusses that. Okay, then the next story. Hahi. Okay, so what did you have? You had a binisa. What is binisa? Rashi says.
Fish.
Yeah, do you have a Gemara brachos? Just hit me something. There are how many different forms of death?
900 something.
Yes.
It's like
daf ches. It's not that. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, it is. Thank you, daf ches. Kimashchil benisa mechalba. I thought that's the same word. I thought Rashi said here it's a hair.
Yeah. Doesn't? Yeah, that's Moshe's death, right?
Yeah, that's the easiest form of death.
Taking hair out of milk.
Yes, kemoshech nima ser mitocha chalav, but that's not what the word binisa means here. I thought that was a little funny.
How many types of death?
Okay.
Achin sar mar hamachas.
I'm sorry?
I just said achin sar mar hamachas.
Fine. So you have, Rashi says, a fish that was grilled or roasted along with nitzla, okay, with basar. So what happened? Rava mi parzikya asked it to eat it with milk. Who is this fellow, Ari? No idea. Okay. Fine. Why? It sounds like hell like Rav, or hell like this brisa. So if you cook something in an oven with meat, it makes it fleishik. Now this, by the way, is... Hold on. Excuse me, did you finish the Gemara? Mar bar Rav Ashi Amar? You can't even eat it with salt. It's kasha and the recha. It makes you, I don't know, it gives you bad breath or something like that. It makes you smell. And ledavaracher, pitzaras. This is the source that meat and fish shouldn't be eaten together. This is the Gemara. This is the only Gemara.
Wait, this gives you, what, you
this is the makar.
Because you'll get tzaras from tzaras.
That's a nice, mix there. You get tzaras from it. Yeah. So tzaras. This is the makar about not eating meat and fish. This is the Gemara.
Why are we using davar acher again? I mean, I'm just curious.
Twice. Yeah, you're a davar acher. One time in the page it means pig, and one means tzaras.
Like, yeah, it's just.
Yeah. I don't know what the connection is. Do pigs suffer disproportionately among animals from leprosy? pigs do have certain commonalities with human beings, and that's why their organs are the best candidates for transplants.
Like,
so it could be that there are similar biological susceptibilities. Dr. Cohen, that we know anything about pig leprosy? Isn't that so comforting to know that we're so close to pigs? I mean, you look at the behavior of some males, especially in the species, and you're not surprised. Yes, but anyway, okay. So this is the makar. Today, apparently, so you have Chassam Sofer when he talks about this. I'm not going into the whole discussion. It's not our issue right now. He talks about the fact that maybe their fish were different because, you know, we don't have this fish. He wasn't talking about, I think, Mamish Eden. He wasn't I think matir eating meat and fish together, but he was talking about cases where you only had tam of one or the other, and he said chora doesn't appear to be a sakana anyway, and they maybe are talking about some kind of fish that we don't have, whatever.
So halacha l'maseh, so we don't have to follow it?
I don't, even though I don't never eat meat and fish together anyway, because I never have the opportunity. I personally wouldn't be mocked it. but
what's that? You're stopped by etiquette.
I'm sorry? No, I don't feel the need, you know, to rub my particular sheepers in other people's faces. It's just if it happens to come up and they only put one fork on the table for me, I don't really care that I used it for the gefilte fish and then I used it for the meat. It just doesn't bother me.
But you're using two forks.
Yeah, but I think that's just because of etiquette, not because it didn't. If I only had one fork, then I would just put out one fork there and I would eat with both. And I wouldn't feel the need to get up and go wash it. Okay. I'm glad Stern is not here. He's going to jump all over me like he did the last time.
There are people who won't use the oven for meat if they just cook fish in it.
That's the kind of case the Chasam Sofer talks about. He's quoted in the Pischei Tshuva where? It's in Yeridah, and I'm trying to remember it. It's probably on this. No, it's not here. It's somewhere in. Jonathan, do you remember it? Isn't it in Taroves somewhere that he quotes this? Not in. Did we not see it? I don't remember where the Tshuva the Chasam Sofer is. There should have been. There is. Of course there is. Of course there is. The hay in brackets. The Rambam doesn't have it anywhere. Which would be a strong argument as to why the Rambam held that it was mutter. Ironically, the Rambam, the dinim of Giloy, the Shulchan Aruch says we're not makbid on at all.
Giloy?
Giloy. Liquids left uncovered. Okay. There are Mishnayis in Trumos that have this din. And we're not makbid on Giloy anymore. There are two or three Mishnayis, I think, Paraches of Trumos. Mishnayis.
Isn't the whole snake concern?
And this whole, yeah, that's the issue. And all Sugyas and Avodah Zarah that deal with the din of Giloy, that the Mechaber already says we're not makbid on. Nechashim not Matsuyim Beinenu. But the Rambam quotes the din of Giloy. But here, this one throwaway line in the Gemara, which is not even Sakanas Nefashos, it's Sakanas Tzaras. So this, the Rambam doesn't quote, probably because it's not in the Mishnah, and it's not extensive, and the Rambam just assumes probably there's no danger, not for him, and therefore he doesn't accept the science of Chazal. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it's for. Unless, like, Davar Acha, probably he does. The answer is yes, unless you have a better solution. And therefore, and here the Shulchan Aruch quotes this thing, and people are very, they're machbid on Giloy, it's a little bit backwards. But okay, fine. I mean, they're following the Shulchan Aruch. I understand that.
It's not going to work anyway.
Okay, fine.
But is that real? I don't. My Gersa doesn't have
There's a bracket hay right before Bemilcha.
Ah. Okay.
That's the that is not the Hagos Agra. That's the that's the Amish Brenner Mitzvah. I'm sorry. Yes.
Do we know the Gemara always is Taras leprosy in the Gemara to the leprosy as opposed to the biblical image is something else?
I don't know if we know. I presume they were talking about. So, I don't know if it's leprosy, some disease that they actually saw.
But they think that
Do I think they saw biblical tzaras? No. Did they see leprosy? Probably, yes.
No, they thought that they saw tzaras.
I don't know. I'm guessing yes. Okay. I'm guessing. I mean, I don't know. And leprosy is the death of the nerve.
It's an infectious
disease.
It's a bacterial infection, I think, right? And it results in death of the nerves. What's that? But I don't know what that's related to turning white. I mean, I don't know why that would be connected. So I don't know. So whatever Torah, whatever Dabar Acher is, fine. Okay. So the end of the sugya then, to conclude with this, the end of the sugya then, it would appear that the simple reading of the last two stories, the Braisa and then Rava Miparzikya's Psak, is that there is a concern of Recha. You know, Mar Bar Avashi's. What about Mar Bar Avashi's psak? That's important also. What about Mar Bar Avashi? Does that indicate Recha Milsahi? Think quick. What?
No, you're getting into
it. Why? He said you roasted meat and fish together. Therefore, it's usher to eat it, even without milk.
He doesn't say that
Recha
Milsa, he just says the
kasher.
Right, he just says
neither does Rava Miparzikya. He just says that.
The smell is.
That's one possibility. Another issue might be that even if it doesn't aser, those who've been with me have heard this multiple times. Maybe I even said it this year once. When I was in cheder, so I was taught that if you were mesupak about whether something was kosher or not, so how could you know? So if you would eat something with a questionable hashgacha, then you know if you were mesupak whether something was poisonous or not, would you eat it? And the truth is, whoever said that was an amara, it's because the answer halachically is that if you have a 51% probability of being mutter kosher, it's kosher, and mutter to eat 100%. If you have 51% probability that it's safe and 49% probability that it's dangerous, it's usur to eat 100%. Because chamira sakanta meisura is the principle Chazal have. So it could be that he might hold that recha la milsahi for the purposes of taroves and achila, but lagabi sakana, that you machmir because chamira sakanta meisura. I think that point is made, it may be made in the Ron's discussion or something like that. Okay. So anyway, so tomorrow is going to be halacha. Where are we up to in regular halacha shir?
No, we
did kuf beis, yeah, we did bavashe shematiyun also, which yes. is kuf gimel. So we are up to kuf dalet. So
yeah, we did.
We finished kuf gimel, and then we're going to go on to kuf dalet, and maybe even kuf zayin. Kuf zayin is extremely difficult, so you may read through it, but you may not get everything that's going on there. Yeah, the Yordea guys are shaking their heads. It's like, oh, we can't wait till they get there. Let's see what happens. And Kuf Zayin is a stealthy, sneaky simon because it's so short, it looks like it's going to go by quickly, and then you get into nightmares. So on Sunday, I will send you Makaris by Sunday, but even if I don't, you know to do the Ushalmi first on the 10th Perek and Trumas on Halacha based in the printed Ushalmis, and then the Sogin Avodah Zarah, and then I'll give you a few Rishonim to look at as well. Okay.